as the operations leader, Brigadier General Lansdale received briefings and updates from these agencies and reported directly to a group of high-ranking government officials known as Special Group Augmented.
Yes, you've SGA. Got Lansdale. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead with your report. You're saying we didn't get the thallium into his shoes. You're saying his beard's not going to fall off. God damn it.
You're saying he's still lush and full and intimidating.
These cubes are absolutely magnificent, beautiful.
Welcome back to the Trilateral Troika. This is Steve, along with the other Steve.
Hey, yo, what up, Miss Skinny T in the house?
And Ryan.
Oh God, Skinny T is such a stupid fucking name.
I love that.
Is your nickname?
It's like that thing from Vine. What's up? It's your boy, Skinny Penis.
Oh my God.
that's been his nickname since high school. And we had a teacher who was like, who ran the actual audiovisual class, and he was like, you all need to remember him. He's going to be a big name one day.
Oh my God. Anyway, speaking of big names, who are we talking about this week?
Today, boys, we're going to be talking about, or we're going to start talking about Operation Mongoose.
I've heard of this before. That just tickled something in my little lizard brain. Something, all right, hold on.
You were watching Top Gun.
He was watching Ricky Ticky Tavi.
God damn it. That was Gullah Gullah Island, right?
Goose.
All right, I can't figure it. What is it? What is Operation Mongoose?
Operation Mongoose, as you'll come to find out, was a protracted effort by the United States government to overthrow the government of one Fidel Castro.
Yes, because didn't this
go on
the Bay of Pigs, or am I crazy?
Bay of Pigs played into this, but it was not the entirety of it.
I'm gonna mute my mic a little bit because I'm gonna eat some edamame.
I had it backwards. Or the Bay of Pigs happened, and then they kicked in Operation Mongoose because they were like, "Yeah, y'all are fucking trash."
Well,
ourselves.
Operation Mongoose kind of goes concurrently with it.
Okay.
The Bay of Pigs. You mean Tallahassee?
Steve, that's the Gulf of Pigs.
Steve, that's just a name. Tallahassee is landlocked.
The Bay of Pigs is Tampa. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
That's a redneck Riviera.
Listen,
is that a real name for it?
Yes.
Yeah, so the panhandle, like Pensacola area, the Redneck Riviera is like a nickname for it.
I still want to go to the Pirate Fest in Tampa thing. What's it called?
A Gasparilla.
Yes, I want to go to Gasparilla so bad. But nobody that I know has any interest, even slightly. And I'm like, I can't go down there dressed as a pirate getting fucked up on myself because that's really weird.
I feel like it's going to be when my friends told me they did Mardi Gras in Mobile, Alabama.
I'm sorry, where?
In Mobile, yeah.
Bro, if you want to do that, then what you do is you just get some friends and you go to the freaking Ren Fair in Lady of the Lakes and just enjoy yourself. Then you don't have to worry about shit. Everyone there is dressed like that. You're going to have so much fun.
Okay.
You can wear your tunic and your...
Bro, I went there a couple years ago. I went there. I freaking got drunk. There was this like band of like pirate... like dudes that were going around making people sing. I got hammered. I was singing shanties with them. I shot a bow and arrow. The lady at the washerwoman show asked me to come up on stage, and I went up. Well, I volunteer because whenever they're like, "Does anyone in the audience want to do something?" I'm like, "Yeah."
Your drunk asses in the back, like me,
absolutely
jumping up and down, so, knocking down children.
So I'm like, "Let's go!" All right. So I go up there, and they're like. I don't know what, I forget what was actually going on. This fucking skeezer kisses me, right, on stage. But she didn't kiss me. She put her tongue all the way in my ear. Like, all the way in.
How did we go from kissing you to tongue in your ear? I need you to explain to me what you think kissing is.
She went to kiss me, like, on the cheek. You know what I mean? But instead of kissing me on the, just kissing me on the cheek, she pucked me on the cheek, and then she shoved her tongue in my ear. I'm like, what are you doing?
So after your sexual harassment lawsuit, how much
did you get? I was fine with it, because I was very uncomfortable.
Was she hot though? That's
question. No.
Hey, listen, you know.
I mean,
like the meme, really, it does make really a difference.
You know, she's probably just wearing like a corset that was like way too small for whatever reason.
And... yeah, exactly. Yeah, just kind of just framing that meat, bro. Speaking of framing the meat, what happened to Castro?
So the CIA had been watching Fidel Castro since his carefully watching him since around 1948, around the same time that the agency comes into existence. So as Castro begins to ascend in power, the CIA becomes increasingly concerned with his actions and his political views.
Can't have no communists in the United States backyard.
Well, the wait thing is that
you guys are telling me he was a communist? Come on.
Well, the thing is that Castro was not originally like fully a communist.
Oh, really? Here we fucking go. All
right, so what flavor of communism was it?
He was not fully, like, for instance, his party was a socialist party. It was not a communist party. The Communist Party of Cuba is not founded until 1965.
Same difference.
But in the 1950s, they began gathering intelligence on him, suspecting that he's a communist.
Right. Like that. I mean, that was the Red Scare was happening right then, right?
Yes, but despite their efforts, they cannot find any evidence during that time period that he is actually communist. So they still are very concerned with him, and they were afraid that if he was to take over Cuba and create a government, that it would have pro-communist stances.
Okay. So Castro wasn't a communist. They were just afraid he would become pro-communist.
Yeah, that he would become pro-communist. And they were also worried about two of his close confidants, one Ernesto Che Guevara, and one Raul Castro Ruz, his brother, who both had left-leaning tendencies.
All right, so just simple yes or no. Is Che Guevara worth the lionization,
canonization no.
that people wear his shirts?
Absolutely not.
Well, he's kind of an idiot, because like if you look into like how he got killed,
seriously,
is that he went and sort of fought an insurgency alongside people who's like trying to like get the help of a local people whose language he didn't speak, and the people he's with didn't speak because they didn't speak Spanish. They spoke the local dialect. Okay. And then he was essentially betrayed by an East German member of the team who was actually a double agent.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it was sort of bumbling, and the whole reason why he was on that sort of like expedition was he had been sort of like kicked out of Cuba for not being like an orthodox communist. He was being a little too friendly with like China and that type of thing.
Didn't he? He committed some stupid acts too. Like he murdered some. Like he was heavy handed all the time. I mean, he killed hundreds of people that we know of.
Okay.
So he was not a good man.
Okay.
I think people they lionize it during the revolution and all that stuff because it is what it is, right? But
what's sort of like one of those things like Carlos the Jackal, where like everybody talked about Carlos the Jackal like he was like a super spy in the 70s, and now we know that like he was like a weird loser that got all these things attributed to him that he didn't deserve. And yeah. Like it was just one of those things where like during the period everyone's like, Che Guevara looks pretty cool, and like they're saying he's doing all these cool things, but after the fact we find out like, yeah, this guy's not as like cool as they made him out to be.
The thing is like if you want to, like, so if you read up on him, the only reason I know about him is because he's in punk culture, especially when I was in high school, because of Rage. They had all those Che Guevara shirts. You remember that shit?
Yeah,
yeah. And our history teachers used to think it was absolutely fucking ridiculous. Like they were just like, "Are you serious? Yeah, that man's like a mass murderer." But now that I'm an adult, I kind of side.
You swing back to agreeing with him again.
Yeah, a little bit, because he's for class struggle and, you know, class warfare, and he wants more for the common man, but the way he went about it and some of the things he did are hypocritical. So is he a flawed revolutionary, or is he a mass murderer? I mean, like, you know, there's some gray area. Probably depends on who you ask. It's like asking somebody in India about Alexander the about Alexander the Great, right?
Yeah. Isn't it true we still don't know where his grave is, Alexander?
You tell me, Steve. I always forget. There's like some countries over there where if you ask people whether he was a hero or not, they'll be like, I'm going to...
I mean, the current government of India says like 40% of the population are quote-unquote like foreign invaders that need to be removed. So, the Muslim portion, and they call like the Mughal Empire, which is considered to be an Indian empire. They say it's like actually like, no, that's like a foreign like imperialist empire, and it was not a good like Hindu state, which is what India was. So in November of 1959, General C.P. Cabell said that Castro was not a communist, but he allowed free opportunity for the Communist Party in Cuba to grow and spread its message.
He's not a communist, but he's not doing nothing about it.
By December, this man
doesn't work for McDonald's, but I don't see him in there actively stopping people from eating that food. So we should sue him. Just a guy walking down the street like me?
Get him. By December, plans were already being tossed around between high-ranking U.S. foreign policy officials that called for the overthrowing of Castro's government. An official report made by the CIA in March of 1960 states that the United States had already decided that Fidel Castro must be displaced.
Displaced.
Did Castro actually do anything around this time besides like being okay with Russia that would make the United States feel inherently unsafe, or is it just the United States doing United States things?
We have to understand it's that he's upsetting American business interests because when he comes into power, there's the nationalizations, there's the gradual sort of like nationalizing and like sort of like land redistribution campaign that's gradually going on. He's gradually introducing all of these reforms that are, one, eating into foreign business, two, cleaning up like corruption from like the U.S. mafia and things like that. So he's gaining a lot of enemies in the business community and the illicit business community by cleaning up.
He was doing objectively good things when he first came into power.
Well, like generally, because that's one of the reasons why, like, we'll get to why the Bay of Pigs failed. And they even acknowledge that is the fact that the majority of the Cuban people are very happy with what Castro was doing. And that, like, while you do have, like, Cuban, like, emigres in, like, Miami who would like stab him to death if they saw him on site. Like, you have to understand those people are like the minority. And a lot of those people, like their relatives were probably not like the best people.
Those are the people that are entitled enough and rich enough to leave.
Well, like I would say, like, if they're not
you're good. Of course you're going to have that fucking opinion.
But they're not like, if like, for instance, like if they're like Mariels or whatever, and like later on stuff like that, that's whatever. But it's like the people who initially first came and the initially first opposed, it's like people who own plantations, people who own these, like, who are like big landlords, who owned like big estates and stuff like that.
Again, like, if you're for class warfare, that's why you like those guys.
Well, we also have to remember that, like, when it's not just the fact that, like, when people today talk about, like, oh, I hate my landlord, he's like a fascist or whatever, and like landlords suck here. But this is like a whole other level. This is almost like feudal levels of like landlordship. This is like you live in destitute poverty in a shack.
Yeah.
And then like
my ancient distant relatives know all about this from Ireland and paying their fucking rent back to England while they can't eat.
Yep.
I don't know about it. I have no idea about that. I live a life of comfort like my relatives would kill me to have.
I have too many snacks. I don't know about this. Our generation has too many snacks.
But I grew up hearing stories from my grandmother about our family, and I was just like, wow, they got fucked. Anyway, I can go stuff my face with fucking Cheez-Its.
So what I was trying to tell you was that Castro...
He should have just worked harder.
He was getting in the way of Michael Corleone and Hyman Roth, you know? And that's happened.
He did not respect the gold telephone that Michael Corleone got given.
Yeah.
All right, so Fidel is
I never asked about the trucks.
He's not as bad as people make him out to be.
Because it was just business.
Because that... the United States doesn't like him because he's kind of shaking things up.
He's shaking things up.
I would say that the Cuban government does do some pretty heinous things that are hard to defend, especially if you are a homosexual. Although, like, the Cuban government does, like, go back and apologize for that and sort of, like, reverse course on things and admit they were wrong, which is something, like, not a lot of communist governments do.
Isn't that Abacua, like, shit that goes on down there? You know what I'm talking about?
What do you mean? No.
Oh, Abacua is like this, like, it's like Cuban religion kind of thing, like a fraternity or whatever, and they're super fucking homophobic. Like, real bad. Joey Diaz talks about them all the time.
Well, no, like, essentially what happened is that after the war in Angola, which Cuba, like,
because you said especially if you were gay, and I'm like, well, they kind of have a undercurrent over there.
But, like, for instance, like, for a long time in most communist countries that lived past the fall of the Soviet Union, homosexuality was illegal until, like the late 90s, because they essentially considered it to be, like, a mental illness. And, two, with Cuba, if you got, like, if you got AIDS, essentially, you were thrown in prison.
God damn.
Oh, this man has HIV. Just get him a jumpsuit.
but essentially what happened is that these, like, veterans that would come back from fighting in Angola, some of them had used, like, heroin, and they'd use, like, intravenous drugs, and that they had gotten HIV. And also, I think, from, like, just maybe, like, fooling around with the local population. But they came back, and then they were just like, well, you have this disease, like, this is a foreign disease or whatever, you have to go to jail. So they essentially locked all these people up in what amounts to, like, prison camps. Because they had AIDS. It was, like, in the late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, okay. I thought we were still talking about the 60s. I was like, did they even know what the fuck it was? Okay, late 80s. Can you imagine them just going door to door with, like, blood test kits? Give me your finger. We need some blood. Poke your finger real quick. Come here.
Well, what's also, too, they don't have to, like, go door-to-door during that period because, like, no one knows what's going on, and by the time you realize you have AIDS, I don't think there was really even...
In the 80s and 90s, we knew there was something, but, like, we couldn't really pinpoint it, but, like, people are getting very sick, obviously devastated.
Yeah, because this is...
community, and when they finally realized what it was, like, this gigantic panic that went into effect where you had people, like, I don't want to be public with thee because I don't want to catch it just sitting in the same restaurant. So it was bad.
So yeah, by the time that, like, during that time period when people are finding out about it too, there are people who are, like, very, very ill.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't have, like, because they didn't know what was up, because it's not like even like the United States, although Cuba does have a relatively very good, like, healthcare system.
They have an excellent care system.
They have one of the best healthcare systems in, like, the Western Hemisphere.
One of the best in the fucking world. It's insane. Yeah. Can you imagine back then you're in Cuba? Oh god, it's awful. This is fucking awful. Can you imagine you fuck around and get cancer and they look at you like, oh, you have AIDS, go to jail. You're like, no, I have cancer. Oh, that's awful, bro. Why would you do that to people?
So the United States, mainly due to fear of repercussions happening to them from the United Nations, they feel that if they're going to deal with Cuba, it has to be held at the highest levels of secrecy, and that a level of plausible deniability has to be a main point of their policy in dealing with the overthrow of Castro.
I mean, realistically, if they knew it was America.
What's kind of funny, too, because, like high up people in the Soviet Union and, like, China and other communist governments were just like, yeah, we don't know why they just didn't invade and, like, overthrow him. Like, they're just like, that's what we would have done.
Yeah, that's what I was like, who the fuck cares if people know the United States? It's an, I mean, okay, yes, it is a completely...
Isn't it nuclear weapons? Nation. Isn't that the main reason?
Well, no, like, that's...
What are they going to say?
Well, that eventually happens. We're talking about well before that.
Yeah, but if it was the United States attacking a communist country, Russia would still be upset.
Well, they weren't officially communists, and they weren't in the Warsaw Pact, so there was no reason for, like, the Soviet Union to, like, intervene in that level. Because, like, for instance, in the late 70s, China invades Vietnam, which is a Soviet ally, and the Soviet Union doesn't respond at all. So, like, there are levels that are allowed. And that, like, with Cuba being in, like, the United States backyard, like, there's not much they could do about it, and they weren't willing to, like, end the human race over it, because it's not like they're bound by any treaties to, you know, defend Cuba to the death.
Ah, I see. Okay.
Can you imagine if we did and Cuba had become a state? Oh my god. Can you imagine just, oh man, it'd be cool because you could go
there. I don't think it would have happened back then.
Ugh.
You know,
maybe, I mean, they won't even let Puerto Rico be a state.
They won't let Puerto Rico be a state now.
Yeah,
I don't think Cuba's getting integrated anytime soon. Although Cubans do tend to be, like, more, I guess, white presenting So maybe they would like be soft. Well, it's kind of a weird conversation.
I would say that the Cubans that are here.
Yes, right. I know you're going to. Steve has drawn this distinction several thousand times in this podcast. So
yes,
yeah. Going back to our discussion of Angola and Cuba feeling indebted to the African people,
right.
as relatives. So the government formally authorizes Operation Mongoose on March 17th, 1960. When then President Dwight D. Eisenhower signs off on a CIA paper titled "A Program of Covert Action Against the Castro Regime."
We had a Operation Mongoose when I was younger. We were all trying to get our money together to buy a sweet bike.
Oh man, with the pegs on the back.
Yeah, the Mongoose. Remember those?
Shit. Did you ever get it?
Fuck no. This fucking little shithead Polish kid around the corner from me got one, but.
You gotta be. What's the fact he's Polish?
We're not even getting down that. He's in like my top five people. I probably like if God was like, you gotta forgive this guy to get in. I'd be like, fuck that. Send me to hell.
It would take you quite a few seconds to sit there and just be like,
nah. I would literally just say, send me to hell. I'm done. If he gets in and I don't, then fuck you. Fuck your rule.
I'm surprised you didn't just try to take the bike from him then.
Contest the Lord.
A declassified report that was made by Inspector General Lyman Kirkpatrick detailed the history of the operation and states that the presidential order gave the agency authorization to create an organization of exiled Cubans to manage opposition programs, that they could begin a quote-unquote propaganda offensive to draw support for the movement, create an intelligence gathering network inside Cuba, and to develop quote-unquote paramilitary force to be introduced into Cuba to organize, train, and lead resistance groups against the Castro regime.
These are like early blueprints for Afghanistan.
The propaganda offensive employed would use radio broadcasts and leaflets to be passed around. And the measure was solely aimed at supporting a proposed provisional government that would take over after Castro was removed.
Yeah, the United States never learned. Fucking lessons. They just keep doing the same shit over and over and over.
The budget.
Nothing new under the sun.
Nothing.
The CIA's budget estimation in 1960 was that of $4.4 million.
In 1960 money?
Yeah.
So that's like $86 trillion today.
Just to see real quick.
I have to just carry the one.
Like Eisenhower just goes into Fort Knox with a gun. Give me the gold.
Wait,
it's around. Take it over Cuba. It
doesn't divide equally. Wait a minute.
Has a Tommy gun wearing a pinstripe suit.
Man, we're taking over Cuba, see? Give me the gun.
It's about $42 million in today's money, which seems a little low.
Okay.
Yeah, not gonna lie, seems a little low.
Yeah, but back then for a sawbuck, you could rent a fucking car for a year. I mean, like,
what's a sawbuck?
I'm just throwing like I'm bandying about terms, you know.
Three razorbacks.
If I give you two wooden nickels, you could fucking eat dinner for 2 months.
I'll give you five bees or a quarter.
Yeah, I love that fucking meme where it's like your generation. Why can't you pick it up? Because when you bought a house, it cost you five bees and a handshake. A strong handshake.
The paper signed by Eisenhower was also the sole report issued by the government throughout the entire project. And this is one of the things that highlights the secrecy with which the U.S. government was carrying out this program. Hmm. And the program also required the agency to work around the clock and collect a large amount of detail-specific information, as well as to cooperate with other agencies.
Which the CIA doesn't want to do, you know?
Yeah, no government organization wants to work with any other government organization.
Well, except the U.S. Postal Service.
That's not technically a government.
Oh, that's true,
they
right?
Don't count. Yeah, they don't count.
Aren't they a federal?
No, it's something that it's a private, but it's like it's run privately, but it's overall overseen by like congressional committee or something. But it's not actually a government body.
Yeah, it's an independent agency.
Yeah, so it fucked me up the first time I heard it too. I'm like, no, that's the feds, bro.
Like, they,
in, you guys are really mailing it in. If I don't.
But an independent agency are agencies that exist outside the federal executive departments and the executive office of the president.
Tell me Joe Biden can't do anything about my mail.
Joe Biden, I've been waiting on my I'm waiting on my 20th anniversary Tamagotchi for three weeks.
I'm waiting for you know, it's funny. I just ordered a Tamagotchi. It's going to be here Tuesday. I'm not kidding. Yeah. I had one for a while there, and I got my friend gave me one, and I got a new one.
Then it died, and then
he didn't die. No, I kept it alive for like almost a month, I think. Then it died.
Wild.
They always die from shitting themselves too. Like, you don't clean up their shit and they fucking die.
It's like, I remember in grade school it was like the biggest thing, and everybody had like a Tamagotchi in class, and the teacher finally got so tired of it she took them from everybody and she threw them in the drawer in her desk,
and then they were just having sex.
She's like writing up on the blackboard or whatever, because, you know, a long time ago
Tamagotchi started getting with each other.
No, but you start hearing chirping in her desk because like they're all dying and hungry and shitting. So you just all hear him chirping just straight for like 5 minutes while he's just so pissed off. She's just like, this
fucking Tamagotchi orgy going on in the teacher's desk. And
then
she's like, shut these things up.
Then she rolled over all of them with a steamroller, Ryan, China style.
You know how these work, Ryan. You do it. I got nothing for you, Mrs. H.
Make it stop beeping.
Not me. Skinny Ryan's R. God damn.
Ryan is the designated Tamagotchi wrangler of Class A.
They were taking Tamagotchis from us in like middle school. Now these kids are like rolling around with cell phones and just looking at the teacher like, touch my shit, I dare you.
I don't want to get off on a rant here, but not to sound like Dennis Miller, but fucking the goddamn phones in class thing. Like,
it's insane.
It's ridiculous. How is that? It should be not even legal. Like, You shouldn't have a phone in school. You don't fucking need a phone in class.
So the parents make a stink saying, what happens if something happens to my precious little Tucker and he can't call me? It's like, bro.
Yeah, you can put it in your bag.
You went to school.
No, that's fine. You can put it in your bag.
You went to school. How many times did you need to call your parents in the middle of fucking reading? Like, what the fuck is your problem? Shut up and take the goddamn
kids. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, part of the problem is, and I saw a breakdown someone gave of it, is that, like, because the schools, especially in Florida, are so underfunded, is that they can't give them suspension because they, for whatever reason, they can't do that. They can't give them detention because they don't have like the manpower and resources to pay somebody to sit there and have like a detention class with them. And that the only recourse they have essentially is to get the school resource officer to deal with them. And since that goes badly every time, because school resource officers are usually the most like fuck up of like police officers that are in like the area that they get put on school duty, right, and that they just like completely blow it out of proportion.
That's why, like, you had school resource officers handcuffing 5-year-olds.
Yeah,
like,
I'm not talking about this. Not about punishing it. I'm saying at the policy level, it should just not be allowed.
Like, well, that's the thing, is that if it's not allowed, how do you enforce it?
You could just fail the kid.
I just don't understand. Like, you fail. You fucking suspend them and they're out. I mean, that's just all it comes down to. Like, if they're insubordinate. I mean, when we went to fucking school, and it was only 20 years ago. Like, it sounds like a long time, but it's not really in the scheme of things. Fucking 20 years ago, if you fucking were insubordinate too many times and got suspended, I think in my school, if you got suspended twice, you were automatically expelled.
Yeah, 2 out-of-school suspensions were expulsion, or 3 in-school suspensions were an expulsion.
And I think your average kid, like, even the tough, like, little shitheads that, you know, we're referring to here, if you fucking hit them with that threat one time, they're done. They're not going to bring their... Only the real shitheads are going to bring it back.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I just can't believe it.
I don't know how the fuck... How could you learn anything? How could you run a class with the fucking cell phones that are able to be out?
I wanted to ask my buddy who's a teacher, like, hey, how do you do this? And because he teaches high school.
I thought it was completely overblown, and I asked my friends who are teachers about it, and no.
It's gotten much worse after COVID.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
I about it a lot, and I was like, why don't you just fail them? But I couldn't get an answer. Like, if I was a teacher, just, okay, if I see it in class, you're failing. Like, I don't
know. You can't. Well, essentially, the way it's designed is that you can't do that. You can't fail them. You can't suspend them because it's going to, like,
it's gonna hurt
you're going to get fired. Yeah, because it's going to mess with the numbers, and you're going to get fired.
So and I just literally just pull out my phone in the middle of like the SAT and just start Googling answers, right?
Yeah, but you're probably not going to do very well because it's going to take a while.
yeah, of course. But I mean, like, that's kind of what we're at the point of, where in the middle of a test, if I'm a shithead, I just pull my phone out and I can do whatever the fuck I want on it.
Yeah, they're probably going to do.
I think that might be an exception. Maybe they might actually act in that circumstance, but still, yeah. You think Fidel Castro could have done better if he had cell phones?
Dog, if he had Verizon, let me tell you something right now.
I mean, Fidel Castro would be perfect. He would be perfect for YouTube because he liked to give like 3-4 hour speeches. He's like, he just have some like Jenny Nicholson esque like channel where he'd be making like eight hour videos about like why we can't get good.
Just fucking epic news or whatever. The Epoch Times.
Well, no, like because Jenny Nicholson, she does like, she did like the 8 hour, I think it was 8 hours on like Vampire Diaries. She did like recently, she did a 4 hour one on like the Disney Star Cruiser and like why it failed.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. She got sued.
She didn't get sued.
Yeah, Disney tried to go after her.
She didn't get, as far as I know, she didn't get sued because she didn't do anything like.
I'm not saying she did anything wrong, but Disney threatened her, apparently.
What? No, like, what Disney paid a bunch of people to say, like, she was wrong. To say, like, no, like, it was actually good, and, like, she didn't have the good experience because she had her, because she was recording things, and because she was recording things, she didn't experience the thing properly.
What? What? Oh, my God.
But she does, like, she had, like, a lot of times what happens to her is, like, with her Vampire Diaries one, is that she gets hit with a lot of DMA notices, or DMCA, because she uses a lot of like clips and stuff like that, and for whatever reason, the bot that runs the YouTube algorithm is very trigger happy.
Yeah, YouTube's kind of gone downhill.
Because no one actually like takes down the videos at YouTube. It's all a bot or an algorithm that does
automated.
It.
Automated. Yep.
Because in order to do a real DMCA takedown, it has to be an actual person, and they don't have the money to pay people to do that. So it doesn't happen, and that's why whenever you fight it, they usually let it go.
Yeah, I could have sworn I read something about it, but I guess maybe it was just talking about how there was some like back and forth between her and Disney. I guess whatever.
Yeah,
but anyways, I really don't care.
So, in order to secure the financial backing for this operation, an organization called the Bender Group was developed to provide American businessmen a secret avenue by which they could trade with Cuban groups.
Yeah, the slogan was "Kiss our shiny metal butt."
Bender Bending Rodriguez on May 11th, 1960.
I forgot his last name was Rodriguez. Sorry.
Yeah, that makes it even better.
That's what I'm saying. It makes it even funnier.
He's from the heartland of America, Mexico.
Goddamn right.
Oh, God.
Do you remember what car commercial was that? The heartbeat of America. You remember that?
It's Ain't That America.
No, it wasn't.
Or it's
a Chevrolet, wasn't it? The heartbeat of America?
Yeah.
For me, knowing America, that sounds about right.
Guys, you guys, you don't remember that? It was
No, I kind of, I'm vaguely remembering it, but I think it was the Chevy Silverado commercial.
Yeah, it was something like that.
But on May 11th, 1960, the Bender Group came to an agreement with a group called the Frente Revolucionario Democratico, or FRD,
and which the Bender would be Group the one because nobody could pronounce the second one.
Which would be the main sort of like Cuban exile group that they would do the operation through initially.
If you want people to rent your movie at Blockbuster, you got to use real words.
Yep.
The propaganda activities would include using print and radio to broadcast anti-Castro messages. These programs were launched all over Latin America. Large amounts of real estate were purchased by the agency for use in the operation. A base of operations was established in Miami on May 25th by using a quote-unquote New York career and development firm and a Department of Defense contract as covers.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah, who are you guys? It's like the CIA's moving. It's like, who are you guys? We are spies.
Hello. My name's Mr. Burns. I believe you have a letter for me.
All right, Mr. Burns, what's your first name?
I don't know.
A communication station was also established on June 15th by using an army operation as a cover. The agency also obtained safe houses all over Miami for different operational purposes. The CIA also acquired properties in different U.S. cities abroad for various reasons.
That's kind of weird, though. They're not supposed to operate on U.S. soil.
Yeah, it was a little more freeform before the Church Commission, okay. Which is why the Church Commission happened. Right. So, yeah, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing.
I'd say MK Ultra was absolutely thing. Not even a conspiracy. That is.
Look, I played Mortal Kombat Ultra, and it's an okay iteration. It's not my favorite.
They didn't even use the sort of things that they use now with like Five Eyes, where they're just like, we're not actually spying on American citizens.
Look, Steve,
what we do, Steve, is we trade with other nations. You know, Canada is listening in on your phone calls, and they tell us, hey, Steve's saying a lot of crazy things. You should hear this.
Yeah.
And we say, oh, by the way, you know, Gordy, he's saying some crazy things. You should look into him.
Well, you know, some people just can't play fighting games, you know? I mean, it just is what it is. I mean, then you get people like Whitey Bulger and the Unabomber. And I mean, you know, they just shouldn't play fighting games if they're going to react that way. You know,
they saw you, Steve. They're watching you. You could never pull off that friendship. And then they just wrote down next to Unabomber and
stuff. Nah, Whitey Bulger was a babality. That guy was a weirdo.
So when I went back and read into like the alleged links with him and MKUltra, and if it's to be believed, they were dosing him on a voluntary basis. They dosed him an insane amount for like 30 days straight.
Like, dude, it's 100% accurate, kind of things, man.
Well, when they were doing these things, it wasn't like, oh, here, try this hit of acid, tell us what you think. It was like, we're going to lock you in a prison, and we're going to dose you every day for months just to see when you break as a human being.
Yeah, that's the thing that like a lot of people don't get about MKUltra is there's like, yeah, it's a program to like break down and then remake someone into like a super spy assassin. It's just like, well, what people don't realize is they only got to the breaking down a person part. They never got to the super assassin part.
Yeah, they
part.
Gave up at the end. So it was kind of like every time they brought someone in there, it was kind of like they were trying to bake a cake, and they just could not quite mix the ingredients together right, and then they just threw them in the yard. I mean, like, that's literally what they did at MKUltra. They're like, we got all the ingredients, we got the best chefs, we got everything we need. Now, I'm going to take these here, I'm going to put these eggs inside this plastic bag, and I'm going to slap it against the wall. Ah, fuck. And then they throw it out in the yard.
Well, yeah, it's all like the Nazi concentration camp experiments where people say, like, oh, no, they learned some good things from that. It's like, well, no, they learned nothing. They learned that, like, if you cut a person in half, they die. It's like, yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, you learn how long it takes people to die under certain conditions.
If like you, unit 73 if, or whatever.
731.
Yeah, 731. Yeah, yeah.
But if you like,
if you freeze a man's foot too much, it falls off. How about that? The Japanese coming through again.
But if you like, it's just sort of like, yeah, if you give people like literally mind blowing amounts of like psychedelics, like you destroy their psyche, and then you just have essentially like a blank person, and it's like, well, no shit.
God. It is barbaric, the shit that used to occur just as a human being. I'm not saying this country, I'm saying just as human beings, is barbaric what we used to do to each other. Yeah, still do, but I mean, even worse. Pretty getting bad. Better.
Pretty bad.
So from March through August 1960, the CIA also aimed at undermining Castro and his appeal to the public by sabotaging his speeches. And again, these
like
schemes
how?
Were...
Like, did they replace all, like, articles with the word foot or something like that?
Well,
you know?
No, Steve, that's actually a little more reasonable than what they were planning. It just goes to their, like, Looney Tunes-ass, like, planning schemes that they go, like, when we talked about,
exploding
like...
Exploding microphone.
Patrice Lumumba, where they're probably better
Who's
than some
Who's expensing
of
all this from Acme Co.?
Wile E. Coyote himself is delivering the box to their doorstep. forklift. Here you go.
But one point... One plan that was discussed was to spray his broadcast studio with a chemical compound similar to LSD. It was scrapped because the chemical was unreliable. Another plot was to lace a box of his cigars with a chemical known to cause temporary disorientation. These plans also included an idea to line his shoes with thallium salts, which would cause his beard to fall out while he was on a trip outside of Cuba. He was during this trip, he was expected to leave his shoes outside his hotel room to be polished, at which point the salts would be administered. This plan was abandoned, though, because Castro canceled the trip.
What? This is how you know the United States is not a serious country.
Well, that's one of those things where people talk about, like very left-leaning, like sort of like people I would refer to as tankies, unironically. Right. Like things they believe is like, well, the CIA is like all powerful. It's like, well, if they're all powerful, like why does Cuba still exist?
It was like something like 200 plus documented attempts on Castro's life, or just attempt to get him in some way, form, or
fashion. We will talk about a number of the plots against him during this period as well. Perfect. Which is where, you know, they put down the numbers. This is like the main attempts. And after that, they're just like, this guy's invincible.
But if you fail 200 plus times at something, don't ever tell me that the CIA is just totally fucking this amazing supergroup. They're objectively shitty.
Yeah, unless your name's Kennedy, they're not killing you.
Jesus Christ.
Steve, tell me how you feel about the president.
Hang on, somebody's knocking at my front door. Let me go answer that.
I'm just saying, have we looked into...
Do you guys hear that, like, chittering last sound on the recording? Someone might have tapped in.
Did you hear a click?
I did. I heard clicks.
You know,
I was eating edamame.
I was hearing a crazy report that the CIA was investing in brain worms.
That's what I heard. Yep. It was... really reputable too.
This guy. So
trusted source.
Yeah.
So the United States opposition to the Castro government was based on this idea that the U.S. government had.
Steve, don't sigh, dude. We're gonna get through this together.
that through coercion inside Cuba, from the government to the people was very severe, and that the government was also serving as a model for radical nationalist movements elsewhere in the Americas, meaning that whatever was going to happen in Cuba could be transported to other nations in South and Central America.
I don't like these turtles. They're too radical.
You know, he's a bad dude. I don't want him around. The party dude can stay. Michelangelo seems like a nice guy, but Raphael,
he's
a bad dude.
Yeah, he's a bit of a loner, you know?
Walking around with those size can't be trusted.
Yeah.
So a month after the failure of the Bay of Pigs, the CIA proposed a program of sabotage and terrorist attacks against civilian and military targets in Cuba. In November of 1961, Robert Kennedy Sr. and Richard Goodwin suggested to then President Kennedy that the U.S. government begin this campaign, and it was authorized by JFK. They believe that a centralized effort led by senior officials from the White House and other government agencies to remove Fidel Castro and overthrow the Cuban government was the best course of action. They also aim to induce the Cuban government to introduce intrusive civil measures to try to prevent the attacks and the concomitant of civilian deaths, as well as forcing the diversion of resources to this end, meaning that essentially they want to have these attacks happen in Cuba to make life more miserable for the people in Cuba so that they turn against the Castro government.
Do you mean concomitant?
Oh, these are the stupidest smart people in the world, man.
Concomitant?
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious that this whole Operation Mongoose, it's already lasted two presidential, administrations, and they still can't do it. So,
but it's just also the fact that, like, we need to overthrow this government because it's bad. We have to understand that this government is not actually bad enough that people want to get rid of it. So we have to make it bad so people want to get rid of it.
Yeah, they go into it and find out that their plan is not popular in any way, shape, or form.
Well, we'll make it popular,
right? But by golly, if we use a little bit of that good old U.S. elbow grease, we're going to make it very popular.
Good firm handshake.
Yep.
Look him right in the eye.
Handshake. We'll nice slap popular. In the ass.
We're going to
tap your finger up a little bit on the butthole, make them nervous, you know?
We're gonna bootstrap these people to an oppressive government.
That's what you call the Bay. That's what happened with the Bay of Pigs.
That's the real Bay of Pigs is when she taps your butthole a little bit.
Oh man. Yeah, we'll allow it. I mean, I won't allow it, but you know, I'll allow the joke.
Following a meeting in the White House on November 3rd, 1961, this initiative became known as Operation Mongoose and would be led by Air Force Brigadier General Edward Lansdale on the military side and William King Harvey on the CIA side.
Fuck made him king.
some woman in a lake threw a sword at him.
Is that how we're making kings these days? Yeah.
What's it's kind of interesting is that they use the name Mongoose, which is something I feel like they put more thought into the name of the operation than the actual operation itself.
Because, like, they call it committees and subcommittees.
Well, because it was pointed out in like another podcast I was listening to, which talked about this, that, you know, like a mongoose fights like asymmetrically against like a cobra.
I thought you stopped listening to the Joe Rogan.
Another day to white podcast.
Hey, Jamie, who would win? Who would win to fight a mongoose?
You know,
or a
cobra? I was going to, but you know, Fidel Eddie Castro. Bravo. You know, Eddie Bravo came on the on InfoWars and talked about how the Earth is flat and how like man's never been into space or the moon.
Yeah. And then meanwhile, Alex Jones is like, "Just get out of here, Eddie. Okay, we got to shut down any day now." Just drinking himself to death.
Other agencies were brought in to assist with the planning and execution of Operation Mongoose. After Eisenhower's decision, it is noted in an official history of the invasion of the Bay of Pigs that, quote-unquote, immediately following the Eisenhower decision to promote the anti-Castro program, there was a considerable degree of cooperation between the CIA and other of the concerned agencies, the Department of Defense, the Department of State, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Immigration and Naturalization Service, and others. So even within official documentation, we know that this is a wide-ranging program that has buy-in from multiple parts of the U.S. government. Representatives from the State Department, the Defense Department, and the CIA were assigned larger roles in implementing the operation's activities, while representatives from the U.S. Information Agency and the Department of Justice were also called on occasionally to assist with the operation. As the operations leader, Brigadier General Lansdale received briefings and updates from these agencies and reported directly to a group of high-ranking government officials known as Special Group Augmented.
Yes, you've SGA. Got Lansdale. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead with your report. You're saying we didn't get the thallium into his shoes. You're saying his beard's not going to fall off. God damn it.
You're saying he's still lush and full and intimidating.
These cubes, they're absolutely magnificent, beautiful hair.
We got to get rid of them.
So he smokes about five, six cigars a day. How many? So how closer is it getting to the exploding cigar?
Well, we put one in every 3 million boxes. So eventually,
you really want to get rid of the guy. How hard could it possibly be?
We'll get him, sir. You hired the best. You hired professionals. Blamco cigars.
Put a bomb in his microphone.
They decided, you know, that they had to get rid of him because, you know, they're just like, well, rid of the beard because they're just like, well, you know, that Cesar Romero, you know, he plays the Joker and he refuses to shave his mustache. There must be something there. Yeah, we have to get rid of him.
We're not aware of cultures.
I'm not hep to race music. So what's this about?
Think the United States did all this just to make it seem like they were trying to get rid of him, but in all reality, we don't really want him to go anywhere, do you think?
Oh, no, they 100% want to get rid of him.
Are they this incompetent, then? Like, I don't understand this level of incompetence.
Well, I think it's generally the fact that the United States government... Well, let's be honest. The United States government is ignorant to what, like, the American people want. They're like... I would say they're about like 50 to 60% ignorant of like what we want as like normal people.
No, I'm talking about just getting rid of Fidel.
Well, no, well, that's what I mean. Like in terms of like knowing what another people want in terms of like getting rid of this leader and like overthrowing this government. Uh-huh. Like if they're that wrong about the people who like live next door to them, like they have no idea how to get rid of like the government of a foreign power like that.
I swear to God, like, governments are just made up of, like, toddlers in suits, like, standing on each other's shoulders like the Little Rascals. Like, there's no way these are actually functioning human beings.
They're just business buttons. That's all they are. It's just a bunch of business buttons. It's always been that way. Industry pushes the button, they get what they want, and we don't get what we want. And then, you know, after doing that for so many years, they try to level the playing field a little bit, and then they just go back to it, you know. Like the DeSantis vetoing that bill about the hemp industry. It's because he's making money on it somehow. Get the fuck out of here. It's the only reason. He even said it's going to hurt certain small businesses. Yeah, ones you're probably invested in.
Wait, you know? What bill did he veto?
That one I talked about where they were going to ban like Delta 9, THCA, and all that stuff in hemp. They were just they weren't going to ban it. They were going to heavily regulate it to the point where, you know, it'd be a little difficult for
a lot of these businesses. No, we're not going to do
it. He actually vetoed it. And I was like, oh, look at that.
Yeah, he's making money. I told you, I have said this for fucking years. As soon as Republicans get wind of how much money can be made on marijuana,
they already knew. They just had to make
it's the opposite.
Listen, they already knew how much money they could make.
There's no way.
They had to make it morally acceptable to a larger part of the electorate.
Listen, when has any business Republican person ever
That's how they sell votes. They sell votes through film morality.
Just to cut this off at the pass, I think the main reason why Ron is so against it is that because his successor is going to be the person that's going to reap the benefits since he's a lame duck.
No, but he's allowed it, though. That's what we were saying. Like, he's allowing this to continue, the THCA and the Delta 9 and all that. They were trying to restrict it. He said, no, let them eat their cake. Like,
yeah,
that shit.
He vetoed it.
He's allowing it to continue, which is what I'm, like, dumbfounded at. But
it
I'm
makes
saying,
no sense at all.
It makes sense because he's making money.
I wasn't even going to take a taste tonight, and I did because I'm celebrating.
It's all about the money, people. Always about the fucking money.
So under the Eisenhower government, four major forms of action were taken to aid anti-communist opposition in Cuba.
Eisenhower always struck me as like the type of person who takes a shit exactly the same time every single day.
One thing that's really crazy that I found the other day, and I'd never seen it before, is that there's an hour and 12-minute video where Walter Cronkite
of Eisenhower shitting.
Yeah, he talks about
it's 3:02 p.m. I'll be back.
So, Ike, how long does it take for you to?
My God, that's a long shit.
But it's like an hour and 12-minute special where he interviews Ike and talks about like D-Day, like what went into it, and he's like actually like walking with him and talking with him, and they're going through like the battle and stuff. Wow. And just the fact that like exists, and it was 20 years after D-Day.
Can we listen to
it? It is on YouTube. You can watch it.
Oh, I'm going to watch that. That sounds awesome.
I'll send it to you.
Interviewing him?
Yeah, it's Walter Cronkite interviewing him.
I mean, that's effectively if you were... Fuck. If, you know, today...
Well, I'm just trying to get the strategies.
Walk down, you know... walk through, like, downtown New York, like, Long Island, or not Long Island, like, downtown New York, where the towers were.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? In 20, 30 years from now, people are going to look at that like, holy shit, that's crazy.
You were walking down the street, and you're interviewing George W. Bush.
George, tell us how you did it, George.
Yeah, how'd you do it, George?
Tell us what went into the planning of this thing, George.
Well, you know, I brought my whole team into the White House, and I had a picture there. And it was New York, the skyline, but without the Twin Towers. And then I looked at everyone, and I winkied. I went, wink, wink, wink. Some, like, devious plan.
You know, in Texas, we have a saying, you know, Bobcat can't climb no towers if there ain't no towers.
Exactly. Like, some devious plan. It's like the George Bush version of that SNL bit where Ronald Reagan's, like, a fucking master genius.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, and that's good. And then they get out of the room, and he's like, call the Cubans right now. We're bombing them tonight, you know? Like, holy shit.
Yeah, he's just like, these are the countries we launder our money, and these are the ones we're selling guns to. It's like, Mr. President, slow down. You're going too fast.
You're going too fast. And they come back in the room. And it's just like, hello. You guys are Girl Scouts. Okay.
Yeah. It was just like, well, he's like, God damn it. This is a part of the job I hate. And then they come. He's like, this is a part of the job I love. So under the Eisenhower administration, four of the major forms of action they took was one, provide a powerful propaganda offensive against the Castro regime. 2, perfect a covert intelligence network within Cuba. 3, develop paramilitary forces outside of Cuba. And 4, get the necessary logistical support for covert military operations on the island. Mm-hmm. At this stage, it's still not clear that these efforts would end up leading to the Bay of Pigs invasion. A document from the U.S. State Department confirms that the project aimed to, quote-unquote, help Cuba overthrow the communist regime, including its leader Fidel Castro, and it aimed, quote-unquote, for a revolt which can take place in Cuba by October of 1962.
But we don't know that.
Well, they're sort of working there, and that part of the problem is this is under Eisenhower, and then once JFK takes over, the CIA is very quick to like put the Bay of Pigs on his like the Bay of Pigs operation on like his table.
On his desk, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to say like we have this program that's been going, we have this operation, we want you to carry it out now.
I swear to God, they had to give it to him like a full stack of papers. They were just like, all right, sign here, initial here, initial here, duplicate here, sign here, sign here, sign here, sign here.
And here we're gonna here, need part, some we're gonna need some phlegm. We're gonna need some, well, some phlegm on this paper.
What am I signing here?
You signed a little bit of payroll tax, Bay of Pigs. We're gonna get a brand new little bit of gotta pay. What was Maryland that second one? Month.
Wait, what was that? Did you say pigs?
Yeah, I love a good. You like pork. Bacon, right? We're gonna get you extra bacon tomorrow.
I like after fat this,
I get to see Marilyn, right?
Yeah. We're also paying Marilyn for the month. She'll be here tomorrow.
Era, take her dress off before you bring her in. Era.
U.S. policymakers also wanted to see, quote unquote, a new government with which the United States can live in peace. Some of the outlined goals of the operations included intelligence collection and the generation of a sort of center of popular support within Cuba, along with exploiting the potential of the underworld in Cuban cities and enlisting the cooperation of the church to bring the women of Cuba into action that would undermine the communist system. The Departments of State, Defense, and Justice were responsible.
Like the natural choice to get involved with, because communism is naturally atheistic. So,
yeah, and usually a lot of post World War II communist governments were very like lenient with the church.
Yeah,
and that like the church became in a lot of Warsaw Pact countries, especially like Poland, it became like the center of resistance because you could post anti-government things in like Catholic magazines and papers, and you wouldn't get punished for it as long as it wasn't like too out there. And for instance, in like East Germany, it was very popular for East Germans to have a faith in Lutheranism because Lutherans were given conscientious objector status when it came to being conscripted into the East German military. And because of that, and also the low population, East Germany wasn't really able to meet all of its like recruitment quotas, and that like the East German state like tried to make like atheism more popular. Like they tried to even have like a like an alternative system that you would essentially have instead of getting like your communion, you would have like sort of like a coming of age ceremony that they did,
like a bar mitzvah.
Well, not like a bar mitzvah, but just like a secular, like sort of party, like to a say
secular
like
secular bar mitzvah. So like, yeah, like you know, Larry David bar mitzvah, yeah, something like that.
he did say his family was not observant, so. But yeah, like a kinsei, you know, you get the big poofy dress. You get to be a bridezilla.
Those are not religious in any way, right?
Yeah, it's just that you turn 15 and like, and then a lot of times you get something special. Apparently in Brazil, you get like a cruise or you get to go to Disney.
Bro, I just unlocked a memory. That show, My Super Sweet 16, used to have me in a fucking chokehold with how much I hated these fucking little girls, where they were just like, I need a Ferrari and I need a 3,600 square foot ballroom and I need 6,000 of my friends and I need a professional makeup artist to come do it and I need a $26,000 dress and a crown and this. I'm like,
$6,000 friends is probably the most ridiculous part of it.
And if you don't, if you don't do it, I'm just going to hold my breath and just start banging my head into the wall until you do it.
Until I can't hold it anymore, and then I'm going to do it again.
I used to just watch the show in amazement, and I'm just like, how do these parents just not commit infanticide? Like, oh my God.
Bro, fuck that show.
So some of the outline goals of the operations were intelligence collection. I already covered that. The Kennedy administration, including...
Jeez, get it together.
Come on, bro.
Well, I'm sorry, we're just talking about Kinseys for the last, 10 minutes. So.
It's a very rigid, streamlined podcast, Steve.
So the Kennedy administration, including then-President Kennedy, his brother, Robert Kennedy Sr., the U.S. Attorney General, John McCone, CIA Director, Richard Goodwin, and Brigadier General Lansdale met on November 21st, 1961 to discuss plans for Operation Mongoose.
Lansdale here. Yeah. We're going to fill the entire bay with pigs. Huh?
Sir, they're going to be so busy chasing American these things around the bay, they're not going to be able to run the government.
And that's American when we move people in. Want fat back. They're not going to be able to eat it if we fill all the bay with all the pigs. And is that even enough pigs?
Now, sir, I know Miami is not full of Cubans at this point, but if it were, I will tell you that the pig weighs heavily within the Cuban diet.
This is giving me an idea for a really bad, man on the street interview to just walk up to people and be like, hey, just tell me about what you think the Bay of Pigs is. And just, random shit like that. Like, tell me what you think
is this that bay, is. Right? Big bay? Full of pigs?
And then, well, here in Florida, you'll run across that one Hispanic guy who'll just go on a rant about how John F. Kennedy betrayed his grandfather, and that's why he's voting for Donald Trump.
I know what you're talking about too.
Oh no!
Oh God!
So Robert Kennedy stressed the importance of immediate dynamic action to discredit the Castro regime. He remained disappointed with the failure of the Bay of Pigs invasion, which had happened several months prior to then. By the end of November, President Kennedy finalized details for Operation Mongoose. Lansdale remained in charge of the operation and access to knowledge of...
We're going to get all the boys on bikes, and we can save money on transportation because we have the pegs on the back. Era.
Now, Robba, you're going to be riding tandem with me? Lansdale would remain in charge of the operation, and access to knowledge of Operation Mongoose remained strictly confidential and limited.
I can't tell. They're telling them to bring the whole fucking government into this thing.
As was common throughout the Kennedy presidency, decision-making would be centralized in-house within the special group that I mentioned before, the SGA. At this time, Operation Mongoose was fully underway. In a testimony given during the Taylor Committee, investigation of the Bay of Pigs invasion, which was an investigation of the Bay of Pigs invasion, General Shoup admitted that then as well as now, no operation like the Bay of Pigs could have been covert in nature. This was admitted after a lengthy question and answer dialogue where Attorney General Robert Kennedy attempted to establish that General Shoup failed to meet his responsibilities during the invasion. Most of the content of his of General Shoup's answers related to transporting men and supplies to the beaches during the Bay of Pig invasions.
Okay.
And essentially, the Bay of Pigs failed because the U.S. wasn't willing to fully commit to it.
Well, nobody could do this covertly, but I tell you what we could do. Let me tell you about the moon landing.
I've got this director. He's really good.
His name is Stanley.
Stuff like this is exactly why you can never believe that the United States government is competent in any way, shape, form, or fashion that they could put together something like a conspiracy.
Occam's razor, dude. Landing. Absolutely. There's just no way. Occam's razor. It's so funny. They can't figure out fucking goddamn rent control and population problems. They're going to manufacture a full-on fake journey to the moon.
Look at the killing of bin Laden, as secret as that was. We know intimate details and exactly why they didn't show off his corpse. We know the guy who killed him because he couldn't shut the fuck up about the fact that he killed bin Laden. immediately afterwards.
Steven Seagal levels of pride there.
I think he might have been the one that canoed him, but Because the reason why, essentially it came out in like this Intercept article that the reason why they didn't show off Bin Laden's body is not because they're like, well, we didn't want people to venerate him. It was because the special forces psychos that they sent on the mission, they had a habit of, they were given like hatchets as sort of like some sort of like their symbol of like their warrior like status or whatever. And they would take these hatchets and they would cave in the skulls of the people they killed. And it seems likely they did that to Bin Laden's corpse, and that's why they didn't show him off, because they couldn't stop themselves from like desiccating his corpse.
Oh my god,
god, balls, bro, what the fuck.
So after a lengthy start to this, we will go into the planning of Operation Mongoose in our next episode.
We're going to have to get the Chrome guys on board for these bikes.
We got to teach the Mongoose how to kind of sidestep to get the Cobra. You got to sidestep. You can't come right at him directly. The Cobra come up and just get him.
You want to give the Cobra jazz hands. It doesn't know where to go with that.
You got to zig and zag. Cobra can't be ready for him.
What was the name of the...
Razzle Dazzle.
What was the name of the BMX guy that was like Tony Hawk? Got his own game.
Dave Mira?
Was it Dave Mira?
Dave
Mirra's BMX challenge.
I love Dave Mirra. He committed suicide a few years ago. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, but he was amazing.
As soon as you said Mirra, I was like, Dave Mustaine? No, it's not him. It's not him.
It is.
Ooh, I'm riding the bike. I'm like, no, let's make it up.
I don't like, to me, like, you listen to Metallica, right, in the 80s, you listen to Megadeth. It is so obvious that Metallica is the better band. Am I wrong? Like, Megadeth is not even that like good.
I feel like they're much better. They're more refined. But, you know, they burn brighter, but they burned out faster.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like Megadeth was never even a good band. Like, I didn't like any. I think there was maybe one song.
Well, it was just that low. Just that low and steady playing.
Yeah.
That very low and steady playing.
Oh my god.
I was never a Megadeth guy.
They have like one or two good songs, but other than
it's like
that,
Iron Maiden.
Everything else is just very meh.
Name one Iron Maiden song.
Run for the Hills.
You can't fucking do it.
I did. I said Run for the Hills.
Too late.
Yeah.
There's a timer on this shit. All
it's
right.
Like, what, a half-second timer?
It's an arbitrary timer that I set up.
You're a feminist? Name all the women. Go.
Yeah, that fucking thing. Name all... Wait,
Doja,
name all them.
Cat?
Doja. Cat? Helen Keller. Doja. Cat?
Because that sound like Lupe Vega. Monica? Clara? Rita?
I'll be telling people my schedule, Ryan.
At least we ended on a positive note. Lou Bega, you know? Dun, 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 dun. All right, good night.
Maybe next week, Lou Bega will join us and talk about the Operation Among Us.
I think I saw him on Cameo. We can probably get him in here.